Today on Common Ground Radio, it's all about garlic. Garlic grows from cloves, which are planted in the fall. Mature heads of garlic are then harvested the following summer. From seed selection to fertility to mulching practices, we'll discuss how to cultivate a healthy, organic garlic crop in Maine. I'm Holly Cederholm, your host for a conversation about local food and organic agriculture brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. My guest today is Brittany Hopkins of Wise Acres Farm. After learning to farm through MOFCA's apprenticeship and journeyperson programs, she grew mixed vegetables for a community-supported agriculture program and farmers markets for 12 years before stepping back from full-time farming in 2023. Brittany continues to grow garlic, which she sells at the Common Ground Country Fair and via an online store. Brittany, welcome to Common Ground Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I'd like to start off with getting a sense of how much garlic you grow on your farm.
Yeah, so you can cut that a couple different ways. I grow, it's a sixth of an acre with the spacing I use in beds that comes out to like 7,200 bulbs. So that's what I'm growing.
And how did you come to that amount?
Well, so I grew for farmers markets and a CSA for about 12 years. So during that time, we were kind of targeting just what we could sell to those customers. I think I was doing about four beds. And then when I scaled back and stopped doing markets and CSA, we expanded it. So now it's just double what it was. Now it's eight beds.
You were doing like a full vegetable kind of diverse operation. And when you scaled back, you decided to focus on garlic. So what about that crop do you like growing?
It is flexible. There are certain times of year where there does need to be a carefully timed intervention with the garlic, but, you know, planting needs to happen at a certain time, harvest needs to happen at a certain time. But other than that, like cleaning and processing and getting it ready for sale is pretty flexible, and it has a shelf life. So unlike baby greens that need to be sent to market within, you know, a couple days max, the garlic can be flexible while I figure out how to market it and when to market it.
And what are your marketing plans for the garlic you grow? Because it is a fairly large amount. I mean, it's more than your family is going to eat in a given year, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. We do hold back roughly like a quarter to a third of the crop as seed every year because you plant the product as the seed for the next year. So a chunk of it does go back into our production, but then we are selling at the Common Ground Country Fair. We've done that for the last couple of years and we'll be there this year. I have an online store. This year's crop is a little short, so I don't know if we will have sufficient garlic to really need to market outside of the fair this year, but I have an online store and I'm still a member of the Ellsworth and Bangor Farmers Market, so I can pop up there if I want to too.
You said that this year's crop is a little bit short. Is that on account of the dry growing conditions this season?
Almost more because it was so wet and cold in the spring. By the time this drought hit, the garlic was pretty much done with its growing process. It gets harvested late July, but it was so cold and wet this spring that I feel like the nitrogen fertility wasn't really there the way that it ideally would have been when the garlic was growing quickly.
Well, so I think we'll get back to the fertility and the life cycle of the garlic. I want to start and ground our listeners in sort of the types of garlic. So there are two overarching categories of garlic, which are hard neck and soft neck. And I'm curious what you grow and why, and sort of what are the differentiating characteristics between hard neck and soft neck?
Yeah, mainly hard neck produces escape, which I think everybody's seen like the Common Ground Fair shirt with escapes on. And there are these like weird alien churly hue things that grow out the top of the garlic plant. So hard neck varieties all make that. That's basically the flowers, the garlic's sexual reproduction. So it would make little flowers and bulbs and kind of reproduce itself that way with a little more genetic diversity. But normally you're just replanting the cloves that are in the ground. So when you're focusing on growing the bulb and the cloves in the ground, you don't actually want the scape to fully mature. So you can harvest it as like a tasty early summer delicacy, I guess. And then soft neck garlic does not produce a scape. It's not as common. I feel like most of the varieties I see around in Maine are hardneck. I don't know if that's just because they tend to be a little more winter hardy. I have grown one softneck. I think it was called Enchilium Red before. And you know, a lot of people like to grow that for braiding because it's a little bit trickier to braid the hard neck varieties. But I personally found that the yield and the closed eyes wasn't quite as good with that soft neck that I tried. So I've been sticking with the hard neck since then.
So the clove size and the yield, those are like two of the considerations you're thinking about when you're planting your garlic and you're making your selection. Like you said, you hold back some of your own stock each year at harvest time to select and replant because garlic is vegetatively reproduced. You're planting it from the clove. So can you talk a little bit more about sort of desirable characteristics in garlic for you as a grower and how that breaks down? There's like the eating quality and then the seed quality.
Right. Yeah. So as a grower, I'm looking for, obviously, you know, flavor and, you know, good resistance to disease and, you know, healthy bulbs. But also yield is great if you have more pounds per acre or unit or however you're measuring it. And as far as like the clove size, that kind of impacts the economic numbers of the crop, just because if your cloves are big, that's good because a big clove generally results in a bigger bulb the next year. However, if the cloves are huge, then you're using more ounces of garlic to get the bulb for the next year. So like I grow German Extra Hardy, which is just like a nice, like the plants are beautiful and tall. And I like the clove size for cooking in my own kitchen just because they're big. But then they only have about like 4 or 5 cloves per head. So then for the next year, you have to save more pounds of seed in order to replant them and get, you know, the same yield back. So that's why I also started to grow Russian Red, which has more like 9 to 11 cloves per head, but it also does produce a nice big head. And, you know, that one is a little more economical when you're holding back a big chunk of your crop for seed.
For people who haven't grown garlic before, it's a 1-to-1 ratio. You plant one clove of garlic and you get one garlic plant.
Right, exactly. It doesn't matter how big the clove is. If you plant a bigger clove, you're likely to get a bigger head, you know, all other things being equal. But yeah, it's 1-to-1. So you break that head up and it makes however many cloves worth of heads the next year.
Have you tried other varieties besides the German Extra Hardy and the Russian Red? Those seem to be pretty common in terms of like looking around seed catalogs for the Northeast. Those are kind of typical garlic varieties.
Yeah, the only other one, I grew in Chilean Red for a couple years, and I've grown Stillips, which I think is kind of a, I don't know all of the history, but I think it has kind of a regional New England or Maine history to it. And I liked it, but again, it didn't quite perform yield-wise the same way as the two that I'm growing now. I know there are definitely growers who grow a huge different variety. They might grow 10 or 20 different varieties and really can say a lot about the history of the different varieties, the different flavors. I'm not a super taster. I just like a lot of garlic and everything. So I'm more aimed towards keeping it simple and, you know, just growing the varieties that seem to have done well over time in my particular place. So
that makes sense. You had talked a little bit about the disease component of growing garlic. There is the chance if you have disease in your garlic, you would then, you know, replant and have that disease carry through in your planting stock. So can you talk a little bit about the importance of disease-free stock for planting?
Yeah, it's important. White rot is the fungal disease that can be carried on the seed. And that is one that I haven't had personal experience with it, but it can infest your soil for, I think, like 10 or 20 years in some cases, if you get that in your allium. So garlic, onions, leeks, you can't grow alliums in that area again without risk of continuing the infection for like a pretty long time. So that's one you want to avoid, especially if you're an allium lover. And you can get garlic seed tested either as a gardener or as a commercial grower. The UMaine Extension Plant Disease Diagnostic Lab, they provide testing for garlic as well as other plant diseases. So you can send a sample of garlic that's growing during the season. I think it's from like June until harvest, and they'll test it for you and check that it doesn't have the white rot. They check for botrytis or other like fungal stuff, and also for garlic bloat nematode, which is like a microscopic nematode that can infest the seed and get carried over if you replant it.
Is this something you're doing before you sell seed to other growers?
Yes. Yeah, I've been sending samples to that lab and have had a clean test when I've done it. It's not a 100% guarantee because you're only testing a small sub-sample of your crop. So it's possible that those could be present somewhere else in the field, but it's at least some insurance that they ask you to choose sort of plants that don't look so good because those are the ones that might have that type of problem showing up. So you send in some of your ugliest ones and they check them. And that's definitely the best insurance you can have as far as not spreading those things around.
What part of the plant are you submitting for testing? Like, is it the clove that you would replant? So you're sort of sacrificing some of your planting stock for the test?
Yeah. I mean, I think they want 5 bulbs, so it's not a lot. I mean, I guess it's a lot if you're only planting 10 bulbs, but, you know, for us, it's not a lot. And yeah, you pull the whole plant, you cut it off, I think about like a foot above the bulb, and you just package those up in paper towels and put them in a bag. You can mail them, or they're located in Orono, which is close to me. So I just drive them over there and drop them off.
So for someone who's just starting out growing garlic, we've touched on they should look for disease-free seed from a grower such as yourself so that they're getting like the best quality seed that they can start out with. And we've also talked about how they should maybe select for larger sized cloves. Are there other considerations in terms of seed that you would recommend for new garlic growers?
I think, you know, just maybe select a variety that the grower you're working with likes and is, you know, has been growing for a number of years, ideally. But if you want to get creative and grow one that seems really cool or weird or has an interesting color, that could be fun too. You know, you just need to make sure that it's, you know, it's a reputable grower who's testing. You can also, you know, you can buy stuff to plant at a farmer's market. Just maybe talk to the farmer about, are they testing their crop, or do they plan to replant what they're selling? Because that's a good indicator that they think it's healthy enough to resell. So yeah, I mean, there's lots of small growers in Maine that are selling at least some of their stock for seed. There's a seed garlic directory that the extension maintains online. So that's a good place to look. There's a lot of sellers that offer it at the fair, Congra Fair, and there's some that offer it online. Or again, you can just go to a local farmer's market and talk to the farmers there about what they have too.
Once they have their seed in hand, well, maybe they should start thinking about their site selection before then, but what are the recommendations for site selection and prepping the ground to have a garlic planting?
Yeah, ideally, you would have been prepping it during the season, you know, in, you know, an established garden bed or someplace that's, you know, had some tillage, or even better, some cover cropping or, you know, organic matter additions recently, compost, something like that. When you're planting it, maybe this is getting ahead, but it's good to add some fertilizer in the fall because the garlic's putting down its roots in the fall. And then if it's a kind of a balanced organic fertilizer, some of that's still just going to stay in the soil over the winter. And the nitrogen will become available to the plants in the spring when they start growing in April and May. So I always recommend that because, you know, I get a lot of people who come to me at markets and say, well, I planted this, but it just, you know, I got this tiny little head out of it. And, you know, your results are going to vary based on, you know, the quality of your soil and how well prepared the site is. And does it get full sun, that kind of thing? There's definitely things you can do both in the fall and the spring to make it grow better.
You are listening to Common Ground Radio. I'm Holly Cederholm. And on today's show, I'm talking with Brittany Hopkins of Wise Acres Farm about growing garlic in Maine. Brittany sells her garlic at the Common Ground Country Fair, which is happening this September 19th, 20th, and 21st in Unity, Maine. Advance tickets for the event are on sale now at mofca.org, and the full schedule and other event details are available on Mofca's website. Common Ground Radio can be heard on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on 89.9 FM and at weru.org. It is brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. So say they have a sunny, well-prepped garden space, and they have their seed broken up and ready for planting. So we've talked about you know, you don't put the whole head in the ground. You break it into individual cloves. What are some of the cultural considerations for spacing? And then garlic is unique, as you were saying, in that it starts putting out root growth in the fall. And there's a cultural practice of mulching it. So can you talk us through kind of like your planting progression for the fall season?
Yeah. So I'm planting in like 150-foot long beds, but I think the spacing would be similar in a garden. And I've got like 3 rows per bed. The rows are spaced maybe 10 to 12 inches apart. And then the cloves are placed about 6 inches apart in the rows. So if you, I mean, you can translate that to say like a raised bed, and you'd kind of have like probably three rows, and again, like about 6 inches apart in any direction is going to give you generally enough space. One thing I like to mention to total beginners is the clove has a top and a bottom. So the basal plate where the roots grow out of is this little sort of circle on the bottom, and you want that down and you want the pointy part up. The garlic will still grow if you put it in upside down or sideways, but it'll the neck will not be straight, which makes it a little harder to clean or might affect the yield a little bit. So you're aiming for a depth of ideally like 1 to 2 inches down in the soil. So you want that much soil up above. We usually are probably only going down about an inch, and that seems to work fine for our soil. Heavier soils that don't have as much like sand and gravel in them, you might want to go a little deeper because those can tend to heave up a little bit more over the winter. And then, yeah, mulch of some type is needed over the winter. Snow is a great mulch, but we don't always have consistent snow cover. And so straw is a popular one because then you can just leave it on during the growing season next year to provide weed suppression. I've been experimenting recently with just using these low covers that aren't good for insect exclusion anymore, just to kind of cover the plants with multiple layers of row cover and kind of get that same mulching effect to prevent frost from heaving the cloves out of the ground.
So you're saying you're using row cover instead of mulch or in addition to mulch?
Yeah, I've had mixed results, so I don't know if I would fully recommend that. But I've been trying that. It's strong expensive, and it's also brought in some weeds that weren't present on my farm before. So the last couple of years, I've just used like a heavy duty row cover that's kind of doubled over. And that has worked pretty good, but that it doesn't provide that weed suppression in the early season the way that straw would. So that's kind of the downside there, is you need a pretty good plan to get those weeds out of there quickly.
One thing that I wanted to talk to you about was the planting date. So that seems to be kind of in flux with the changing fall growing season due to climate change. So there's been a trend in Maine towards longer, warmer falls, and a planting date was typically around 4 weeks before the ground freezes. And now that date, which used to be more predictable, is less predictable. So how do you gauge your planting time in the fall? And have you changed it since you began growing garlic?
Yeah, I have not changed it yet. I think my factors, especially in the last few years, have been, when do I have like the time and the labor available to do the job? Because it's a big job when you're doing a sixth of an acre at once. But I've been still aiming for like the third week in October, roughly. Again, we're in central Maine near Bangor. It's a little bit different if you're further north or further south, obviously. And I know other growers in the area who have started to go later. And I may consider doing that this year if it's looking like it's going to be a long fall again. What happens is, if it's warm enough, the garlic will actually sprout in the fall and start sending up a shoot, which doesn't necessarily kill it or make it not grow the next year, but it's spending some energy putting that shoot up, which then isn't left down underground in the clove for the next year. So ideally, you don't want that to happen.
How do you care for the garlic the next growing season after it's gone through the fall root growth and then the winter dormancy period?
So it'll start popping up out of the ground basically as soon as the ground's bare in the spring and not frozen anymore. That's also getting earlier in some cases, depends. But pretty soon after it has come up, for me, I want to get the row cover off of it. I leave that on for a little while because the row cover does also kind of provide a little bit of a jump. The garlic will come up a little quicker underneath that. It's some people who have straw mulch on there will pull it off in the spring to let the soil warm up and kind of let things breathe a little bit. I have not done that and when I use straw mulch, and that worked fine too, to just leave it on. And it likes a little dose of nitrogen in the spring. You can put down most of the fertilizer you need in the fall, but just giving it some, organic growers can use like fish emulsion, which doesn't have a ton of nitrogen, but it has some, or blood meal. I get grossed out by blood meal. We don't use it, but those are things where there's a lot of available nitrogen. It's liquid. It's going to go right down to the roots and give them a little boost while the soil is still cold and the nitrogen in the organic matter in the soil isn't as available to the plants. So that's good to kind of boost the yield and kind of get the plants growing in the spring.
Do you find that there are any other needs for fertility if you've done your fall or spring fertility? Like, do you need to do a boost later in the season, or that should be enough to cover the crop in a fairly fertile planted area?
Yeah, usually if you can hit them like in late April, early May, that is sufficient. I think I've read something that they really are kind of done with their nitrogen uptake by like the end of May. So you kind of want it right there for them then. If you want to get really nerdy and technical about fertility stuff, I know Cornell Extension has done a couple of studies about what type and quantity of nitrogen will maximize the yield in garlic, both like fall applied and spring applied. So there's definitely some resources out there to get technical about it if you want to.
Well, another technical question might be the scapes, to remove the scapes or to leave the scapes, because some people believe that removing the scapes will focus energy of the plant into bulb production and will increase yields. And this is for hardneck garlic that we were talking about that sends up the flower scape. What are your thoughts on scapes, and what do you do on your farm?
Yeah, we do remove them. When we were doing farmers markets and CSA, that was also a nice vegetable to have early in the season. We could offer the edible scapes to customers. So yeah, we take them off. I think there is research also about demonstrating that removing them as soon as possible does increase the yield per area as well. And it's also an earlier the better thing. So if you're letting them fully spin around and go back up straight into the air again, you're probably waiting too long, and they'll also won't be as tender if you're trying to eat them. So really, as soon as you start seeing those scapes poke up or maybe start to make one loop, that's really when you want to get them so that you maximize your yield and also have nice tender scapes to eat. I will also just put in a good word for scapes as the vegetable. I think a lot of people kind of look at them more as like a seasoning, or you can make pesto out of them or something that you would add to a different thing. We cook them like green beans. Like, you can just like kind of roughly chop them up and throw a whole bunch of them into a skillet and just cook them up with some olive oil. And they're very mild and tasty. You just add like a vegetable. So you can eat a lot of them that way.
Oh, great. Yeah, I've done similar where I've roasted them, sort of like a roasted green bean situation. So we've talked about the scape harvest. When do you harvest your garlic?
Our harvest date has gotten earlier the last couple of years too. That might also be because of my row cover situation, but it's like mid to late July is when we're ending up with it. What you want to look for as far as readiness is that the plants are starting to yellow. Usually they'll yellow from the bottom up, and you ideally want to pull them when they still have like 4 or 5 leaves that are more green than not green, and get them out of the ground then. What can happen if you leave them is each of those leaves is basically a wrapper on the bulb. So once they start to decay, you're losing that wrapping around the bulb, and that's what's protecting the cloves from any fungus diseases or things like that. So you want to get them out when they still have several good wrappers on them.
When we buy garlic at the farmer's market or the grocery store, it's typically cured and dried. So are there any harvest considerations for the types of conditions or weather? Like, what does a typical harvest day look like?
Hot and dry. Yeah, it's usually a very, very sticky, dusty day, ideally. If there's going to be a big rain in the forecast around that time, you might want to try to beat the rain. The drier it is when it comes out of the ground, the better as far as curing it goes.
And for curing, what is your system?
We have like a barn-shaped garage with a second story, and we just have kind of wires hung across the rafters in there. It has some windows that we can open up for air circulation, and we put some fans up as well. So we just kind of tie a clump of like a dozen or so bulbs to another clump of a dozen or so bulbs with some twine, and then just hang that double clump over the wire and just kind of line them right up. And yeah, just hang them up for, usually it only takes like maybe 3 weeks to cure. Depends on how humid the air is. This season has been an amazing season for curing, not so much for keeping things watered because of the drought, but there's been really low humidity. And so that's allowed for the garlic to cure up without any problems with fungus or anything like that.
So folks are looking for, if they wanted to kind of adapt to their own situations, it would be sort of like a dry, well-ventilated, out of direct sunlight situation for their garlic curing.
Yep. Yeah. So just even like kind of the underhang of a porch, it can be in the open air. That's fine. Just as long as the rain's not going to hit it, the dew's not going to hit it.
Once it's fully cured, what do you do then?
We just cut the bunches down, trim the roots off, you know, kind of as close to the bulb as we can while leaving them still kind of intact. Trim the top off, maybe just a half an inch or so above the bulb. And then, you know, for sale, I know I really like cleaning garlic. I guess that's another reason I'm still growing it. So I like to get it really nice and squeaky clean looking. But yeah, just kind of take off the dirty wrappers and get it down to a layer that is really clean and either reddish or white. And then you've got some beautiful piles of garlic.
Do you have any tips or tricks that you're willing to share about your squeaky clean garlic process?
Patience, probably. The drier the air is, the better. Like if it's a rainy day, like it can be a little harder to get the wrappers off. Like you'll get sore thumbnails because you're usually kind of pushing on the wrappers with your thumbs. I haven't recently, but I've used a toothbrush before sometimes, like just to get those little bits that are right down by the roots off. But yeah, it can be a very relaxing, meditative, somewhat backbreaking, but relaxing and meditative thing to do.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us all about how you grow, harvest, and cure your garlic. I hope to see your garlic crop at the Common Ground Country Fair this September.
Yeah, my pleasure. I appreciate the radio show, and thanks for having me on.
Great. Thanks, Brittany. This has been Common Ground Radio, which airs on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on WERU Community Radio. Archives of previous episodes can be found on WERU.org, as well as the WERU app. As always, this show wouldn't be possible without editing by Claire Boland. Stay tuned for more great programming.